I don't want clients to be looking over their shoulder at what everybody else is doing, because that detracts from your true self.
Yeah.
And you end up making decisions that go against your values or truly who you are and where you're supposed to be. So that's right. Why I mean these conversations about it, or why are you attracted to it? Do you want to do it because everybody else is doing it? Do you want to do it because it just resonates with you and you can't explain why? That's very different.
Yes.
Right?
Welcome back to another episode of Success in Mind. If you have ever been overwhelmed when it comes to building your brand, if you've ever wondered what is a brand or what defines a brand, if you get bored with your brand and feel like you constantly want to rebrand, or maybe you are constantly rebranding, if you've ever thought that a brand is just a logo and a color palette, maybe some fonts, this episode is for you. I'm sitting down today with Lisa Marie of Lovely Studio. Lovely Studio is an artistic branding company, a strategic member of your executive team, providing expert brand counsel and design advice for your business. 2024 marks her 30th year in the profession of art and design. The connections along the way now inform her artistic process when writing a narrative and creating brand artwork, resulting in clients who feel heard, confident, and proud of what they've created. You're listening to Success in Mind, the show for high-performing leaders, changemakers, and entrepreneurs ready to take your life and business to the next level. If you're ready for whole life success, keep listening. Are you ready to unleash your voice to the world? Do you have a story to share, but you're not sure where to start? Introducing the Launch Your Podcast Challenge. Join us for an intensive 5-day journey where you will learn everything you need to know to launch your own podcast, from crafting captivating content to mastering the technical side of recording, editing, and publishing. We've got you covered. Don't miss this opportunity to turn your passion into a powerful podcast. Sign up now and let's kickstart your podcasting journey together. Visit terryholland.ca/5-day podcast. The link is in the show notes. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I just said to you, I really like when somebody else is driving the bus.
Yeah, and then you don't have to think.
No, I don't. This is actually kind of nice to be chill. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. So I'm going to start with the big question that everyone probably asks when you talk about branding, and that is, what is a brand? How do we define a brand?
Oh my gosh, that is a great question. I think that is certainly subjective. You know, if you went to Google that, you're going to find a variety of different answers. But to me specifically, a brand is the inside and outside of your business. It is not just a logo, like that word, just, no. It is your full experience that people are getting with your company. So it's the personality, it's really starts with the people. So the health and wellness and how that business is running behind the scenes, making sure that that's tickety-boo will really reflect on the outside. It really starts there. For me, the pretty stuff, the visuals all come later. But if that brand is not healthy on the inside and rolling along, I really find that the rest is sometimes not the best investment until the rest is healthy, for sure. We really focus on that, the people, for sure.
Cool. Because I think a lot of people, and I know I've thought this in the past, that a brand is the logo and it's the colors and it's the fonts.
Yeah. I just think of it as, I'm old school artist, right? Like I was in art school before the computers and all that stuff. We were doing the paste up ads. You know, there's some people that might get that. But to me, I think there's some beauty in that, you know, design and branding and marketing, you know, all the buzzwords I think have really started to take a turn over the years into rushing things and wanting to get to that end product. But we're really just about sitting and having some dialogue and marinating in this process and really getting to understand the full experience of a brand. I think that is, that's really important. The visuals, you know, that's fun for sure.
Yeah.
But that'll come later then.
So when is it time for professional branding? Because I see with a lot of my clients, when they're starting a business, they want to start there. They want to start with, and they want to start with the logos and all the pretty fun stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But when is it, when is the right time to do that? And the reason I ask that is because I know, and I've talked about this before in the show, that I made a mistake, and I know we've talked about this, that I paid a lot of money to get this great branding done. And it was a fantastic brand. Like the package put together was fantastic. But it, within a year, that wasn't me. And I quickly identified that, oh, that's actually not who I'm targeting. That doesn't represent me. So when should we be considering professional branding? And what are those steps that we should be taking towards it?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. And I'll try to do a little cold notes, but as some people know about me, it's a little bit impossible.
Oh, I see. We have time.
That's why we're here. I see sort of two parts in that question, right? Like you're saying, when's a good time? And then also reflect on your experience that you felt you like you outgrew that solution very quickly.
Yeah.
So in terms of timing, that's going to be different for everybody. It's like, I don't know if you're ever going to feel 100% ready, but maybe some tipping points to be mindful of is when you start to feel a little bit bored, you start to feel a little uncomfortable. And a good one that I see a lot of businesses, especially sort of 5 year plus, right?
Yeah.
People who have scaled really well and they feel that they've outgrown their narrative and they've outgrown the visuals. They can't really put their finger on it. So I like to relate it to, well, I'm 47. But sort of like mid to late 40s, and you're not really quite sure what clothes to wear anymore because you're not 20
right.
and you're not 60. You're just kind of feeling uncomfortable in your skin. So as a business, you know that you're nailing it. You know that you do things really well, right? You're very clear on what you do and your clients and how you deliver it, but you're having a really hard time articulating that. I think that when people start to feel uncomfortable about that, and it doesn't mean leap right to the visuals, like, oh, you know, shoot, now I just got to change the face of it. That to me is just a little bit of a warning sign to sit down and start to have a conversation with yourself or, you know, somebody like myself and start to communicate those uncomfortable feelings. Like things aren't going as smooth any, right? Perhaps, depending on the size of your organization, perhaps there starts to be a little bit of a disconnect between the people within the organization, right? So we might start to feel employee engagement is wavering. People are communicating the values or the vision about the company differently, right? There's different stories happening. So we're starting to see some disconnect behind the scenes and the way those messages are being conveyed out to our customers and to our audience. So I just say, push the pause button and go, ooh, right? Like what we do with personal growth, you know, you start to get a little cranky about things or you realize that you're reacting kind of in a funny way and you're like, well, that doesn't feel like me. Same thing with your business, right? You know, pause to have a little check-in and learn about where that's coming from. And more often than not, it can just be because you've grown and good for you, right?
Yeah.
But when you grow and you're scaling and profits and all that, you know, finance department's looking good, right? But that's definitely a time to sit back and connect and ask some good questions and relook at what that narrative is. Once you feel more comfortable with that and start to go, yeah, that actually sounds like us. That sounds like me. And you can write a narrative and a lovely story, start to develop a new, fresh, revised strategy. And then you get the visual. It doesn't mean burn it all to the ground of what you've done. It's just really time to look at like what still works for us. You know, what are our wins and what still sounds really true? And authentic's a bit of a buzzword that I bit over that. But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
And then start to go, no, actually, that's not working for us anymore. And evolve and elevate those areas. So, to go back to the question of when's the right time, it's when you start to see inconsistencies in communication, when things start to feel disconnected behind the scenes, and when you start to feel that you've outgrown your outfits a little bit. It's time for a little bit of a new wardrobe, a new look, right?
Yeah.
And then, with, you know, and I think when you talk about your experience before, when we went over that in detail over lunch that day, and you were excited about it. Well, it's so easy to get excited about visuals, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, me like, oh, I like that. Well, actually, that looks really great, right? And it's like a little high, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like find something online or, you know, maybe it's like a new book and chapters or something like the smell and that like, oh, it looks beautiful and it looks beautiful on my shelf. And then you're like, oh, well, but it looks good in the store because it was with a whole bunch of other things that went really well with. And when you bring it home and it's sitting there by itself and it's just like a little logo by itself and you haven't really thought about how that's going to work and that whole experience, it loses its excitement, right? So I think in your particular case, and this is just, you know, sort of surface level observation and through our experience, it's okay, somebody's ready for a change visually. We really talk about it, like almost to a point where somebody might feel that we've over-talked about it a little bit, right?
Right.
Picked it all apart and help you realize what you want. Like you, you know, you'd said later on, you're like, oh, well, I don't know if that's really me. I don't know if I really wanted that. It just wasn't explored thoroughly enough in the beginning, really.
Yeah. And I think it was what I was asking for at the beginning, but I didn't know what I really
wanted. You didn't know.
Right. So she gave me what I was asking for and it looked fantastic.
Great.
Messaging was great. But then I was very quickly like, oh, wait, no, I don't like working with corporate clients. This isn't who I'm targeting. This isn't how I want to present myself. And I've seen like I've gone through and I know a lot of the people in the audience have probably experienced this, too. So I've gone through evolutions with it where I'm like, oh, this is it. And then very quickly, I'm like, oh, whoa, no, that's not it either. And then I start like throwing everything, like just like random things together and getting lost in it. So that's,
and then that sounds like perpetuates frustration and disconnect and
definitely
all the questions. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned like when people get bored, that's a sign because that's where I get to. I'm like, I'm bored with looking at this. So who else would want to look at it?
Yeah. You know, and we're going to do that. You know, there's, and especially as creatives, and I mean that in a very like broad sense, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just artists, right? But people that are constantly sort of, you know, thinking and evolving and reflecting and questioning, right? So creative approaches, you're going to face that, I guess, risk of boredom, right?
Yeah.
And I think a nice way to do that is to acknowledge and anticipate that's going to happen. So like, I'm going to be my worst client. I'm not going to be able to make a decision for the life of me because I like a million things. Mm-hmm. But what I'm going to do is to look at all those potential options, right? So if you're somebody that you know, loves color and you love these, you know, different points of inspiration, there's going to be a common thread there that you're trying to achieve and identify that, design for that and give it room to breathe and evolve a little bit, right? But it still is going to have core fundamentals and element components of a brand that will stay consistent with you for a very long time. Just like changing the throw pillows in your living room, right? So the structure might stay the same. You know, maybe you change the flow a little bit, right? You know, putting a new plant over there in the corner and switching the books around, you know, gotten color-coded there, right? In the background, switch that up. But the core fundamentals and the structure and the purpose and the story is, and the values are all very similar, right? You've just put on some new frames.
Yeah, right.
Right? But you got to nail that core for sure.
Yeah.
That's the tough part. That's what makes people uncomfortable. And that's the beauty in it, right? You know, I think that's what we've evolved to over the years is to really know how to poke the bear. Like somebody's like, oh, yeah, I know what I want. And yeah, I've been doing this for years. I'm like, let's just hang out a little longer. Let's.
I like that.
Little something else in there that we want to kind of dig at, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes there's tears. That's a little bit of design therapy, but
I love it.
All good stuff in the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what about, you know, like, can you speak a little bit to the difference between, or is there a difference between like a big established brand, like a larger company, a big brand versus say a personal brand? And like, is the approach to them different or is it pretty much the same?
Very good question. And I've learned over time that it's quite similar for me and my process, right? So we start any design process with what I've named the Liberty Workshop, right? So very similar process or starting point, like other companies or people might call it a discovery process, right? So typically an hour conversation and you get to know somebody and then you kind of go along from there through the creative. But we've evolved that process quite extensively that regardless of whether you're a solopreneur or a larger corporation with, you know, organization with 5, 8 or so people, you know, decision makers at the table.
Yeah.
Many of the questions are very similar. It just takes a little bit longer because there's more voices at the table and you want to make sure that those voices are aligned, right?
Yeah.
Quite often there's family members involved too, right? So if this is a family run business and it's grown and scaled well over the years, maybe there is a first generation that started it. You have second generation children potentially involved, husbands, wives, partners involved. So it overlaps to this is very personal at the same time. And we have to really acknowledge that. So solopreneur, same thing. They've developed this likely, you know, because it's a passion. It's very personal. Right. It's like a child, right? And so honoring that and acknowledging, being very mindful that this is quite a personal thing for people, regardless of the size of an organization. So we just want to make sure that there's a lot of clarity and alignment there at the beginning of the process.
Cool.
So it just, you know, the process just might take a little bit longer and we might do some different methods to help extract some of those stories and viewpoints and start to craft a narrative that feels that it fits for everybody. But, you know, you pull the thread on some of those qualitative questions and it stirs up some organic dialogue that you have to sit with for a little bit. And people on the other side have to be, in order for the process, I believe, to work very well and to get the most out of it, you have to be open to, you know, it's not a one-week process or you show up to counseling for half an hour and it's all fixed, right? Like,
right.
You know, you got to dig in. You got to dig in. So big or small, to me, the foundation work, the digging is key.
And the more you hide from me in the beginning, like, we're going to find it at some point. It's going to creep up, right?
It's going to creep up. But I think our process has been quite thorough that we end up developing a pretty smooth creative and strategic process from that lasts quite a long time. People are comfortable with work by a long time.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, of course. And can you give us a little bit of an insight into what that process looks like and how long does it take sort of on average to really get brand solidified?
Yeah. So everybody's is different, right? Every artist, every agency is going to have a slightly different approach. It always depends a little bit on the outcome as well. Mm-hmm. So we break our process into generally three stages. We always start with what I've called before earlier as the Liberty Workshop. So that process is the heavy lifting. And like I said, regardless, big or small, we will take you offsite, or I like to say kind of out of your comfort zone a little bit, you know, out of the boardroom, right?
Yeah.
Get out of the distractions. And I may make you drive a little bit, but, you know, no further than an hour. Nourish you and the team and such, and really get into understanding who the people are. So just kind of a bit of, I call it a trifecta framework, right? So the people or you, really dig into that, the longest part. And then about the business, right? So understanding the general fundamentals of the background and history of the business, but we really want to dig into the business model, the methods of the way you do business, like operations, it's like cleaning your room as a kid. Pull it all out of all the drawers. I want to see it all, right? Like, what are we dealing with here? What challenges and concerns are we dealing with? Sticky spots, you know, big wins, things that you're proud of. And then also then the third component of that workshop is then digging into the audience, right? So understanding the core people that we might have worked with. Maybe we don't want to work with that particular type of audience anymore. Maybe we're trying to attract something different. So that's a big one too, because there's, let's say, some fear-based decisions, right? Pull the thread on that one. But
yeah,
you know, hey, we want to go down this path and really build our business with this particular audience. And I'm going to ask you, end up asking you, well, why? Right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm seeing a disconnect in who you are and what you deliver and your values and, you know, what burns that fire every morning. And, but this type of person that you're trying to go after doesn't really have what I perceive as like-minded values, right? So why are we trying to do that? Is it just, you know, financial reasons? Is it, you know, so we're going to pull that apart a little bit. And from that Liberty Workshop process, we will then develop your, what we call your brand narrative or your brand story. So, and it is like a little storybook, you know, it's definitely the quantitative stuff about your business and the services and such, but it really is a beautifully written, well-crafted story that dives into the personality of your brand, the tone of your brand, you know, your visions, your values, and not the typical, you know, mission statement and such like that, brand culture, who you are, why you do what you do. And all of that is going to serve as that core foundation for all your marketing messages and all your decisions internally and externally, you know, moving forward. You'll feel very grounded and clear. You'll be like, ah, that's me. That's us. Yes, that is what we've been trying to capture. Then it's like this. Okay. That, now I feel like I've got the right outfit. You know? Okay, good. Now we can proceed with making some really informed decisions about our business, right? And so that's Liberty Workshop and the narrative. We tick that off. And that's going to then inform our creative process, which is the second stage. And that's the fun part, right? You put in all that hard work to share the nitty gritty and get a little uncomfortable. And this is where you get to sit back and, you know, we get to work with that and make some beautiful visual creative packages. And really proud about this particular component because it's taken a long time to craft this part of the process to something that we really enjoy and really sets us apart from other companies as well. And I think there's beauty in all artists' approach. I just really felt that digital, for lack of a better word, digital was taking over. You know, things were moving too quickly and I didn't feel that presenting our concepts to clients on screen or PDF was doing it justice. You know, like people are investing a lot of time and money to really feel good about their business decisions moving forward and this brand. So I want people to feel really great about this decision. And it's tough. Like we're visual people, but others aren't. And it's uncomfortable. So we have developed a presentation method that we, you know, loosely call sort of an immersive artistic process. And to give you an example, we recently took a client to the beach for a presentation. I've had a couple there, which has been really nice. And he's an outdoorsy kind of guy and general contractor. And the three concepts we presented in mock-up type fashion. So put labels on beer bottles. We all showed up with, you know, we do three different concepts. We all showed up with t-shirts and plaid jackets, hats that all had the branding concepts on them. So when we showed up, you know, we're kind of like it, right? And so he's like, what is this? And we had, you know, food with all the labels on it, framed pictures of the concepts of what this could look like on vehicle wraps, websites, you know, all those things. So you can stand back and take it all in and go, this is what it could look like. This is what it could feel like. So you're coming into this with this really beautiful narrative where you know your story and now you're just trying to match the visuals to go with it, right? Wow. And the best part is because we've done all that hard work, that legwork of knowing, you know, to know the nitty gritty writing, the visuals are also fun and they have a hard time deciding. You know, and I'm not saying that just to be all, but it's just a really proud moment. So we spend quite a bit of time and look at this one. Oh yeah, I like a couple parts to Maddo, but I really like a couple parts over here. And this typography makes me feel a little, you know, and then come back and present a couple edits and then we're off to the races, right?
Wow.
Wow. So, and I think also is it just makes them feel very proud and taken care of and a reflection of, wow, look at, you know, as a business owner, look at what I've done. Look at where I've come, you know, and as a 20-year business anniversary and scaled really well through all sorts of challenges, you know, to go, wow, I've arrived and I'm celebrating by like, my breath's going to look hot shit, right? Like it's, you know, the same and very aligned with the type of services and the level of quality and services. Like we're playing the game, right?
Yeah.
And I want them to feel that level of fire and pride. And so that, you know, the Liberty Workshop and then the immersive artistic experience from the third component is we pull together into a brand biography. And that is essentially applying this new brand to deliverables. That's where people want to start. They want to start on the marketing and they want to start on the web and vehicle graphics. That just trust the process that'll come so that we apply that brand and help them bring it to life in the real world. So, yeah.
That's incredible.
And that's a quick one, you know, is about a 90-day process, but that's a wish.
Yeah. And then, and that sounds like a good length of time to really go through that whole process, right? Like it's not something, or at least it's sounding to me like it's not something you want to rush through. It's
no. And that's the thing. I think I've learned over time and, you know, we talk about sort of fear-based decisions when you're taking on clients and such too. And my journey informs my process and question, conversations with clients too, because I used to take on clients and be like, oh, I'm excited. I just want to get this done. And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do this. And, you know, it's like a good paycheck. And I won't do that anymore because the creative process to me and artistic process need to be really respected. And there's some beauty in that. And it's a very fine line of overthinking and taking too long and something and stalling out, especially as a creative too. You can feel bored and you lose that high. Right.
Yeah.
So, but we, you know, keep that running at a fairly steady momentum. It's going to have its peaks and valleys a little bit, but it needs its time to breathe.
Yeah. So for you then, I'm interested in your creative process through this because, you know, you were just mentioning that, you know, you lose that creative high or that there's a fine line there. So how do you stay engaged in the process and what's your process like in working through it?
It's a very good question. And there isn't one straight answer and it's certainly not a Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really learned to learn that about myself, acknowledge that and stay grounded in that is that's a point of difference to be celebrated in my process, I think. And I'm a very emotional individual. I get very invested in my clients and their story. And I used to think that was to a fault because it's quite exhausting. Or I thought it could be too much for people. But I've really learned that's a strong point of difference. And that's how I'm able to connect and extract and articulate these stories for people visually and in writing. So I take it slow, just the same thing that I encourage my clients to do. And just when I've taken it slow, I realize I have to take it slower sometimes. And that could mean giving more padding and more space in a day, giving more padding and more space and breathing room to thought processes, really understanding my workflow and making sure planned accordingly for that. So for example, if I have a Liberty workshop for a client, I'll make sure that day before that I'm quite rested. I have an easy, perhaps admin day, right? I'll prep and I know, you know, it's pretty intuitive what to pack and get ready for them. But I know that I don't schedule anything else in that day. I start that day, that workshop with them at 11 and we just go until we go. And I communicate with my clients, too, that if I feel that at the 3-hour mark, that's enough information, time to cut it off and regroup another time, I'll do that. I'm very just honest about that because I want to make sure that I can give all my energy to that. And then the day after is usually quite a low day and not in a depression way, but I like it quiet. I like to just sit and reflect on it and think about things while folding laundry or doing things around the house.
Yeah.
And I leave great big paper out on my table and I'll walk by and I'll just kind of just start to process and get the ideas going a little bit. So staying connected with other creatives and really good people in my life just keeps that momentum going for me. And then also really taking some quiet time for myself. I have some really good playlists that I listen to. These little things be quite grounded. And painting, I started to pick up the paintbrush again, which is really nice. So
awesome.
That's important to me to get away from this and connect with this.
How did you get into branding?
Oh my gosh, lady, it's in my vein. Art is, being an artist is. My grandma was a beautiful painter, runs through her heritage. My dad, a beautiful artist. We're learning now that my mom is actually quite talented. So we joke that maybe our talents came from her. Oh. A beautiful artist. And so it was just something I was just always connected to and connected with. I always took the art electives in school, the token friend that didn't go to BCIT or Douglas College or something after high school. I went to Langara College and did a creative diploma there to explore different avenues, interior design, visual presentation, all that kind of stuff. But I was quite drawn to graphic design. My dad's employment history and profession is all in that realm. Okay. So maybe being exposed to that, created some intrigue. And so I went through my whole education through that and did my master's degree in England and just started to sort of niche over time.
Yeah. Right?
So to explore that professionally and then through my education and find a corner in the industry that I was really drawn to. And that's repetitive experiences, lots of trial and error and error and error and failures. Love a good old hardcore failure.
that
certainly informs your decision of what path you're going to go. And just trying new things. So, getting into this particular branding, it's such a big word, such a subjective word, but my particular corner of it, I love people's stories. I love you have a conversation with a business owner who has started something. And when you ask them what that is and their body language changes a little bit and they nestle in and they talk to you about a story of a client that they've helped and you just see something different about them, something really special. And I just enjoy helping them bring that to life. Like truly, it sounds a little cliche, but I just, that needs to be brought out there in a visual and literary way. It's the connection with people that just totally my jam.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Now you mentioned failures. What are some of the things that you've had to overcome or some of the lessons that you've learned in your business that have guided you to where you are today?
I should have. Should, by the way, is a solid swear word. We kept a long running list. Failures are mistakes that have been formed. They're right up to recently. My gosh, my daughter asks me this question quite often. She's like, tell me about some mistakes you've made.
Great.
Can we maybe not? It's a little profound. I think there's failures because of, a bit of a cause and effect, because of lack of clarity with my own self or lack of self-worth or struggle with self-worth for sure. Just where your place is, where are you going to land and what are you doing? I've peeled back the layers on that one quite a bit over time you get to a point where, do you continue working through that or you just let it go and that's who you are, right? So, I think different client projects and different companies you work at give you those experiences or opportunities to reflect and figure out who you are and what you want to do. And I wasn't able to figure that out right away. You know, it grew various employment opportunities. I lived in China for a year and lived in England for a year. All sorts of things through this nearly 30 years of the profession where I've tried different experiences, and when they haven't worked, I think the biggest thing is you feel that you've let somebody down, you know, or you haven't delivered on something. And it's, you know, it's to no fault of anybody, I don't think. You know, I think it's important to acknowledge and accept and take accountability for those moments, and you learn from it and move on for sure. Yeah. But I think those failures are definitely a result of trying to figure things out and just not being in the right spot quite yet. So I think that, you know, I use all of that to inform my process as a client. Maybe it's nice. It comes in as a bit of protection too. Maybe that's why the discovery process or the Liberty Workshop process is so thorough, because I really want to help people connect with, why are you here? Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Right? What's working? Yeah. What's not? When you endure, right? Yeah. Like when we endure, and there's the P word that goes with that. Like persevere. Persevere. Yeah. Right? I don't think that's actually like a really good thing. You know, when you're enduring through stress, and yeah, it's okay, and my business is this and that, and you start to settle, and you know, it's supposed to be stressful, and it's not, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, challenging and good things. But so I think my own journey through trial and error and, you know, trying to figure things out and the failures as a result of that, I want to help people learn to connect with themselves and their business to find that true fire and really what they want, because it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be persevering all the time. You know, I want to help them avoid. Failures are good, but I'd like to help them avoid a few of them. It'd be nice.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. So, okay, I need to ask you about trends, because this is a trap I fall into, where you're seeing like trendy things out there. Like right now, I'm looking at the Pantone color of the year, and I'm like, that is so pretty. That is it, fizzy peach, I think they're calling it. I don't know.
Sure.
But it's so pretty. And how do we avoid getting trapped in those trends? Or is there a way that we can kind of incorporate some of them, but stay in alignment with who we are and the purpose of our brand?
Yeah, very good question. I personally, I feel very strongly about this. I defy conformity. Like, my back gets up when I even you say the word trend. And I'll tell you why, because I think it's a bit of a trap. We can certainly proceed with caution. Yeah. Be informed by trends for sure, right? Like, I mean, check out that's an avocado green color there.
Oh,
that's an old, like, 50s ice crusher, like bar ice crusher, right? It's like, and there's like a turquoise blue color and stuff like that, right? Trend, like, they definitely mark history and time for sure. But proceed with caution and don't fall into the trends, because they don't last forever. I don't want clients to be looking over their shoulder at what everybody else is doing, because that detracts from your true self.
Yeah.
And you end up making decisions that go against your values or truly who you are and where you're supposed to be. So that's why I mean these conversations about it, or why are you attracted to it? Do you want to do it because everybody else is doing it? Do you want to do it because it just resonates with you and you can't explain why? That's very different.
Yeah.
Right. You know, don't get me in the conversations about test mold and things like that. Right. Developing a brand and in that realm conversation of trends, I prefer to lead down to building things that are timeless in a sense, or they have many elements that are timeless. Like an Audrey Hepburn little black dress, right?
Yes.
Like, you're never, ever going to go wrong with that. Again, perhaps subjective, an opinion. But, you know, Trends are important. Use them to allow you to develop a dialogue and a conversation, not just jump on the bus with everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I like to be like, well, why?
Right.
How can we use it? Right. And yeah, how can we be intentional with it?
Yeah. Such a good point. And yeah, I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking back to, it was several years ago where like every female boss lady coach was using rose gold on everything. And you can't stand out if you look like everyone else. Like you're just going to blend in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got sick of looking at rose gold everything. I didn't do it, but it was everywhere. Instagram was all rose gold, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll do that later on. You know, I'll be the one that probably, you know, 3 or 4 or so years after something's come out, then I'll be like, okay. It's like after the movie's released on a Friday night.
Right.
You know, of this month, yeah. I'll go in September.
Okay.
I want to see what happens. Let's see how long this is going to last. Let's see what's happening here, right? Like, what's all the hype about? I'm going to sit back at the dinner table and just sort of watch what's going on over here first before I leap onto it, latch my claws onto a trend, right?
Smart.
Skeptical.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good thing. Yeah.
Good question.
Are you seeking inspiration and motivation to ignite your team's potential? Look no further. I specialize in igniting passion, boosting morale, and driving results. Whether it's a corporate event, a team building workshop, or a keynote address, I will leave your audience energized and empowered to achieve their goals. You can expect engaging storytelling, actionable strategies, and an unforgettable experience that will propel your team toward success. Book with me for your next event today at terryholland.ca/speaking, and let's inspire greatness together. The link is in the show notes. I have some rapid fire questions for you.
Oh, shoot.
All right. Ready? Favorite book?
I don't read a lot. Wonky Donkey with my kid.
What? Wonky Donkey? Fun. Favorite food?
Sushi.
Nice. Biggest pet peeve?
People that say babes supporting babes, but they don't support babes.
Yeah. Good one. That's a really good one.
Thank you.
Who inspires you?
Ooh, my grandma.
Nice.
A lot of people, but I'm going to say grandma.
Nice. I like that.
Not a lie.
Yeah.
She's in the box behind me. She's here.
Hi, grandma.
Sorry. Sorry, people. TMI.
That's all good. What are 3 things you would take with you to a deserted island?
Oh, right. You pre-warned me with this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a family show, though.
No, not necessarily.
Might be. Okay, so we'll keep it a little bit PG. I'd take some paints. I would take a really good gin.
Nice.
And a good gin. Maybe tequila. Same. Can I take a friend?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I would take a friend.
Nice.
Yeah. They know who they are.
Cool. Good. Good. Who's a celebrity that you'd like to have dinner with, dead or alive?
Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, great choice. I loved her.
Yeah. Can't explain it. There's just something, you know, maybe we knew each other in the past lives.
Yeah. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Fucking hate karaoke.
No,
like literally makes me sweat. No, hard pass.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not into it. Not for you.
No. I love how much joy it brings people. Mm-hmm. And my very like dearest kindergarten friend, you know, Nicole, I could just watch her all the live long day, but do not ask me to go up there.
Fair enough.
No, maybe a bucket list. What's your go-to karaoke?
My go-to karaoke is, oh my gosh, why can't I think of the name? Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh.
That's my song.
I would do that in my car. There are some things where I'm like, that's my range.
Yes.
But karaoke, I don't know. I think there's something to unpack there. Maybe you can do a little hypnosis session on me there.
And
maybe then we'll karaoke together one day.
And then you'll be like a karaoke star.
Quite a visceral reaction to your question.
Yeah.
Quite passionate about not liking the karaoke, but anywho, there you go.
But it's like your car song, you know? We'll call it your car song then, not karaoke. Just when you're alone in the car, maybe with your daughter. Like, what are you singing to? What are you?
Who's the John guy? My John Mayer? No, the other one.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Oh. Man,
there's so many. That one? Oh.
I'm curious.
What's the theme?
I have no idea. I have no clue.
So I think I'm legit experiencing, if anybody else chime in, with the perimenopausal brain fog.
Oh.
Can you do a whole separate thing on this?
Yeah. Yeah.
John Legend.
Oh, John Legend. Of course. Yeah.
I like a lot of things. I'll listen to Marilyn Manson all the way to Bach Cello Suite Number 1.
Nice.
Very specific. But John Legend, they get into it.
Oh, I'm gonna have to check it out. I can't even think of it.
Yeah. I'll send you the little ditty after this.
And then I added this question in just for you because I'm curious. What's your favorite color?
Oh, green.
Green? Like any green or a specific green?
Very good question. Actually, so funny. I have a poster under my, I'll send you a picture of this poster. It's a vintage color palette. Yeah, I don't have a specific Pantone green color that I love. I would lean towards a seafoam green, because our family cabin is painted as 50s seafoam green, for sure. Or this avocado green.
I like
green. I love the full spectrum of greens. I think it just, you know, the plants behind you, I think there's just such incredible beauty and possibilities in it. And it's also a chakra. So.
That's true. That's right. Yeah.
It's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Middle green, can't go wrong.
Yeah. So if people want to find out more about you and how to work with you, what's the best place to find you and connect with you?
Well, I love just good old human connection and contact, right? So give me a ring for sure. You can pop that in the note. No problem with that.
Okay.
My website is lovely.studio, no.com or anything like that.
Cool.
Just www.lovely.studio. Instagram is Lovely Studio Branding.
Perfect. I'll have all of those in the show notes.
Thank you.
And any final words or thoughts from you before we close up?
I think I talked a lot, Terry.
Good.
Those are really thought-provoking questions. I think when I say things out loud, it makes me realize, just connect with myself and how much I love. Love it. Really dig it.
It shows.
And thank you. I love what comes out of our connections with people. So I'm grateful that you gave me this opportunity to chit chat. And share with you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And we'll do the hypnosis session on my.
Yeah. On your karaoke.
The next podcast, I'll belt out a tune for everyone.
Sounds good. I'll hold you to it.
Shoot. Okay. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. Did you enjoy this episode? Did you learn something from it? Did you get a little value out of it? If so, please share it with a friend and leave your 5-star review. I'll be back again on Thursday for another solo episode. I don't know if you realize this, but I'm doing 2 shows a week right now, 1 interview, 1 solo show. And I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about yet, but I have some ideas rolling around in my mind. So I will be back on Thursday. And then next week, I'm going to be joined by Nick Barrett, the founder and CEO of Cordbrick. If you have ever had an idea to create a product and you don't know how to bring it into the marketplace, if you have an invention, an idea, something that you want to create that you're inspired by, you've got to listen to this episode. Or even if you're just curious about what that process is like or how people like Nick come up with their ideas, you'll want to catch this episode. I'm always so fascinated by people who invent things. And as Nick said at some point during the show, he said, Terry, you're just creative in a different way. And I fully agree with that. My creativity is not for creating tangible products, but creating courses, programs, and ideas. Whereas Nick is brilliant at bringing ideas to life. So you're going to want to listen to that episode because he is absolutely fascinating. Anyway, I am off now for the rest of the day and heading out to Calgary later this week. So come back on Thursday, join me for the next solo show, and then for Nick's show next week. Hope you enjoyed this one. Hope you have an amazing rest of your week. Bye for now.